Welcome to World Talk with Friends, where the small world we live on becomes smaller as we discover neighborhoods all over the world by simply talking to our neighbors. This is Haggy Shack Radio Production. Colleen Kelly is producing with friends Nancy, Nora, Neil, and those we have yet to meet. Welcome to our world.
And we are live.
Okay, thank you so very, very much. Hi, everybody out there. This is Nancy Hopkins. I'm with Nora Willow. That's Colleen Kelly, who's our producer and our co-host. And it is March 29th, and you are 29th of 2017. Better put the year in because you won't know. It goes so fast. And this is a what the World Talk with Friends show. And as usual, it's like, you know, what are we going to talk about? Oh, my gosh. But Ben Fulford is going to pull us out here, Nora. Hi, Nora.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Colleen. Hi, everyone. Yeah, it's good that we have Ben Fulford.
Yes. Is Nora's mic okay? It sounds a little low to me, but it might be me.
Wait, is this better?
She sounds fine to me.
Oh, okay. As long as she sounds fine to you. So, Nora, you had an interesting weekend. Can you, you know, tell us about it?
Okay. Well, I went to this event. As I told you, it was kind of a presentation for this potential thing. I mean, I had an idea that it could have been just a scam, but I said I'm going to go anyway and check it out. And it was for this you know, the company Herbalife, which is an American company, where they sell this stuff that's supposedly going to help you either lose weight, help you with you know, your health, your nutrition, getting the right nutrients, especially with all the problems that we have with food now. Blah, blah, blah. So I went there, and I don't have a problem with the products themselves, okay? Because I've tried them, and they're actually quite good. That's not the point. What was interesting, Nancy, is the environment. The environment was extremely toxic. And it was, I mean, I can't even express how I felt. I just felt like an alien. It was so money-driven. Everyone was talking only about money, how much money you can make, and these Italians kind of incorporated the American style of doing things, which is, you know, music, very loud, and just that very enthusiastic type of thing that's really, really not a European way of doing things, which is fine when Americans do it. But when Europeans try to do it, it comes off a little bit unnatural. And I just felt it was a very fake place. And I stayed there, the first day I stayed there for 7 hours and I was dying. I just could not take the energy. The lights were very strong. There was very loud sounds. It was just an unnatural environment. I actually couldn't go the next day. I was dreading the idea of going the next day. And this is interesting, not because of the place itself, but going back to energy, how sometimes energy can really affect you to the point where you can't take it. And I mean, I was in a place where there were around 1,000 people. So you can imagine.
There was over 1,000 people at this event?
Oh, about 1,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was torture.
And you couldn't leave the first day because you had gotten a ride there with somebody that was...
Exactly. I mean, she's a very sweet lady. I was with her and her husband. They're very nice people. But you know, the place was a bit far away from Milan. It's about an hour, so I couldn't catch a ride back. I just couldn't by myself. And I was very blunt with them. I told them, you know, it has nothing to do with you. I really appreciate it, but I really don't like this place. I told them flat out.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, and they respected it. They're like, yeah, no, we know we're not really into all this. And I'm like, no, it's okay, but you don't even have to justify it. It's just me. You need to understand how I am, because if this is what it's about, then I can't do it. Whatever it is that I could do. And I mean, the president of this company came and he was like, he had this Rolls Royce, and Dolly saying, "Nora, run away from her life." Oh dear God. Oh my God. Well, thank you, Dolly. I kind of figured it out, but thank you. You kind of gave me an extra confirmation. Yeah. I could feel it. It was an interesting experience. Oh, that's all I can tell you. Because it just showed me a lot of things, and it even showed me how sensitive my energy has become, even more than before. So that's kind of my little adventure of the weekend.
Now, because I've been to, I think I've gone to a couple of them over my lifetime. And I went to a similar thing, can't even remember what the name of it was probably 45 years ago. And it was, again, herbal stuff and cosmetics and things like this, you know. And the amount of focus on the money is absolutely, even back then when I didn't know crap, you know, it was like, oh, this seems exciting, but is this what we're doing? You know, it was, even though hadn't bought it, I was kind of a novice at everything in life, you know, I mean, 45 years ago, but it was like, even then the money didn't attract me, but the, enthusiasm did. You know, I mean, people really get into a state of, wow, this is really great, you know? And so you kind of go like, oh, wow, this must be great. Look at all these people that are happy about this, you know? So you can actually succumb to the energy of euphoria, enthusiasm, or whatever. And you didn't. You immediately
I was the opposite. Was. Oh, my God. It was torture. I felt like I was stuck in a cult.
Oh, yeah. I can
see.
It was
a cult, yes. Everyone's like munching on their Herbalife stuff and drinking their Herbalife mixtures and their phone cases are Herbalife and their, I don't know what, everything is. I'm like, where am I? What is this place? I need to get out of here.
Oh my God.
It was too funny. It wasn't funny at the time though, but it's funny now. No, I've never seen something like that. It's a cult. Yeah, it's a cult. And I've been warned, I was like, just leave me alone, let me do my own thing. I need to go check this place. I want to go check it out. And it's, again, not for the money, but it was shocking how it was like an alarm telling me, look how sensitive you've become to energy. And I just, it was an incredible experience because it kind of helped me know myself a little more. Because, you know, I mean, I work outside in the street. There are a lot of people, but it's not the same when you're stuck in a closed indoor place with 1,000 people. You know, and it's hot and you can feel everyone's breath and energy. And the place wasn't small. It was quite big. You know, you got this big stage and everything. But and the energy of the speakers, you know, it was false. It was not genuine. Very money driven, very materialistic. No, I didn't like it.
I wonder if you've got the dragon energy that says that nobody can lie to you. You know, maybe it's like, did you ever see the movie, what was the name of that? It was a old movie, like a black and white movie, and they put the glasses on and then they could see that the people around them were actually aliens.
Mm-hmm. Is that, are you talking about They Live?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yes. It kind of strikes me that this is what had happened to you, you know? It was like you had glasses on, but it was dragon energy that you couldn't be lied to, that you could see it. You know, did you feel that you could see beyond what they were presenting?
Right from the start. I just, from the moment, the funny thing is I didn't even get the chance to, you know, slowly get into the shock. I just went there, I got into it was like, you know, they do these things in these hotels, a beautiful place, a beautiful hotel. And I go in and I see all these well-dressed people and, you know, I like well-dressed people, I have no problem with that, that's not the point. But just the way they were acting, I'm like, okay, something's not right here. I can feel it, but still, I don't want to judge.
Well, maybe that's the word. It's acting. You saw them acting.
Exactly.
Not being authentic.
No, and it's all about money. Money, 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 money. You can feel like, yeah, you know, if you do this, you can get that. If you do more of this, then you're going to get a vacation, a free vacation. And then they're like, oh, but it's not any free vacation. It's like a really luxurious free vacation. Who cares? I mean, again, I'm saying that because that's me. They may care. For them, this is the life. But I just thought it's interesting that I found myself there. And I was observing the people around me. They were all like clapping. And after every little word, they're clapping. And I'm like, stop clapping. My head is going to explode. They keep clapping like after every less than 5 minutes. I mean, I heard clapping in 7 hours. I can't even count the times the people clapped. And with all that artificial light, and it was just a whole combination of, I was thinking, how can these people not be annoyed by all this? And then I felt like I was the alien, that there was something wrong with me. I'm like, I'm not normal. This is not, I mean, what's wrong with me? Everyone else is okay. They're okay with all the invasive lighting and sound and they're just okay with it. They're actually into it.
You had the eyeglasses on and you could see they live. These crazy people who are like not even in their bodies.
No.
They become like automations. It's like crazy.
Yeah, it felt like they were, as you said, they were out of their body and you could see like the dollar signs on their eyes. That's all you could see. They're like, money. Money. How can I make more money? How can I be more successful? How can I jump in the you know the level, the hierarchy of becoming from this to that to that to that? And I am not against ambition. Okay, that's good. Being ambitious is good. Challenging yourself is good. But again, it's a subtle energy that you feel it. You're like, this is not. Because, you know, you can, ambition, for example, can be used positively or negatively, just like, you know, the computer can be used positively or negatively, like anything in life. So that ambitious energy was not, it felt like it wasn't being used for the good reasons or for the right reasons. They were being used only because people wanted to get the car, they wanted to get the lavish lifestyle, which is great. I mean, again, I'm not against people wanting to live, you know, a lavish lifestyle, but It's you shouldn't make it your focus of your life. It shouldn't be an obsession. You know, if it comes, you get money, you're blessed with money, then you enjoy it and you share it with other people as well, which is important. But that shouldn't be your focus. I'm not for people who say, oh, I deliberately don't want to live a lifestyle where there's money and I'll just walk, you know, barefoot in the street and live homeless. That's a choice and I respect it, but that doesn't make that person better than another person who chooses to enjoy life if they have money. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't have judgments about people. It's the way they do things.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you, but it's also what they're going after is, you know, and because they're so focused on money and, you know, it's conceivable that they'll make money because that's the reality. That's what they want to do. However, a lot of these people get into these kind of pyramid schemes, is what they are, is because they need an avenue where they're being, again, channeled. In other words, they're not going out there and just saying, let me follow my heart and see what I can do that's good. And if the money comes, great. You know, and if it doesn't, well, I better find some other way of getting money.
Yeah.
It's the secondary to your path. But these people are really there because of a sense of having no other options. They're afraid.
Yeah. That's
because
right.
If you look at the level of enthusiasm, it's desperate.
Yes. Yes. You said it. And you want to know something funny? And I hope this is maybe, that it could inspire whoever is listening. I found out 2 days ago that, my boss, well, he's got his own family drama and he's decided, and I'm happy for him. He has decided, he's 27, he has decided to leave the business, the family business, and he wants to be free because he wants to do his own thing. He's been, you know, kind of doing things for others for the past 6 years and a half, and he's fed up for certain reasons of things that happened, which is not important to get into. But the point is, he told us flat out, which was very noble of him. He said, listen, put in mind that until July, we are working. When the end of July comes, you don't have a job anymore with us. So 2 days ago, I find out that in 4 months, I'm out of a job. Okay. And oh, actually, I discovered this before going to this Herbalife thing. So I thought, oh, let me go check it out. I didn't know that it was like, I wasn't sure it was a scam. Okay. I was like, let me go check it out. But I wasn't thinking, oh my God, no, because I'm not going to have a job. I have to do this. No. So now I know that in 4 months, this job is going to be over, but there's no fear. So I'm just answering to what you're saying, Nancy, that, you know, when you get to a point of desperation and you're afraid, and especially in my case where I know that, okay, I need to start checking out what I can do because in 4 months, you know, even though I'm very good at saving my money and I'm very cautious, I still pamper myself, but very cautious. Even though I don't make much money, I was able to save, which is a miracle. Okay. I don't know how I did it, but, I'm not afraid. You know, I'm like, and I wasn't upset. I was like, you know what? To my boss, I told him, good for you. You should go live your life and do your own thing. And thank you for telling us. But at least, you know, he said, you have the right to leave if you want. I'm going to stay till the end with him because it's convenient for me. But the point is that there's no fear. It's weird because I would have been worried before. Now I go with the flow because I've understood finally that this is how the universe operates. It's like the universe is telling you, all right, this job was right for you for this amount of time because for this reason, that reason, and that reason. Now we're giving you a heads up. You know, the universe is giving me a heads up that it's really good. It's not like last minute, like tomorrow you don't have a job. This is actually great. Like in 4 months time, you're not going to have this job anymore. So this is an indication that this stage of your life is over. A next stage will come. I'm excited because I'm thinking, great, so a new stage is coming, and I'm looking at it positively. Damn, this is a huge growth. I mean, I wouldn't have felt this way before.
Yeah, there's so much synchronicity in the conversations, but we talked a little, touched on a similar situation on last night's show. And it's like when I was brought up, my mom and dad never let us know if we didn't have enough money. And I guess for most of the time, we didn't have enough money. We always seemed to have enough. They didn't have money, so we just had the basics. They had 10 kids. By the time they get into the second part of the family, dad is very successful and making a lot of money. So you suddenly have money interacting in a family environment that the genes are the same, the environment's the same, but now it's been changed because half the family is being brought up with money, and the older half had no money. And I can tell you that there is definitely a difference in the way that the younger kids operate than we did, because we never felt a sense of needing. We had everything we wanted because you couldn't afford anything more. So our way of going through life is much simpler. The younger ones, having had money and feeling like, you know, that's the way it is, they seem to have, they need more. It's almost like if you get more, you need more. So when we look at people and how they're, you know, putting out their images of what they think is right and what they think is good, those people that need are continually looking for ways of getting more. Whereas is like where you are now and where I was brought up in that earlier part of that family is that somehow it's always okay. I don't have to worry. And even as an adult, I didn't worry. It was like if a job ended, another one opened up immediately.
Right.
Until 2013, when the business crashed and I had no money. I mean, I just paid off the credit card. If they had told me on Friday we were not going to have a job on Monday, I wouldn't have paid that off. I wouldn't have been in such a bad state, but I was. And for the first time in my life, there was like no options. And I know what people go through. I know that fear, that paranoia, where you wake up in the morning and the first thing that hits you is absolute panic. You know, I mean, it's devastating. And so when we talk about these things, it's not because I don't appreciate where an awful lot of people are, you know, but what I can tell you is that even though I went through, well, let's see, it was, I believe it was in March. Was it in March or May? I don't even remember now. It began with an M. But when it happened, I went through a number of months with, like I say, where something that was very easy to me became very difficult. And if it wasn't for the fact that my dad stood up for me, I had Social Security, Cindy lent me money, I never would have gotten through those few months until Social Security clicked in. But even though I was okay now, even though I didn't have a job, I was okay. I still, my mind wasn't right because I was so full of this paranoia. And, you know, what am I going to do next? So in order to get out of the funk, I started writing. I just started to do something creative to just get my mind away from it. And it was really the writing of Cosmic Reality that brought me back into that state of everything is fine. You are never alone. You're always being protected. You know, just relax. And after that, everything changed again. I mean, it was just like one thing after another that made it more secure, more secure, more secure. Yes, my dad did die, but he had a tremendous amount of money when he did. And to this day, I'm not sure that he had all that money. You know what I'm saying? It's because nobody knew he had that much money. And Even though my sister had gone with him and did when people die, the lawyer that takes over, you know, that kind of lawyer. Estate planning, you know. Estate planning. And Lori had gone through that with him and stuff. But there was money that nobody knew about. So was it there or was it because the universe said, oh, well, Dad just died, but they don't know how much money he had, so let's just put a bunch of money in there, and then Nancy can, you know, pay off her property, and she'll be safe, and she'll be on the mission again. This is what we don't know, mm-hmm. is what happens behind the scenes. And so when you look at your boss that makes a decision that affects a lot of other people, and you can say, good for you. Right. You know, that's humanity as it should be. Good for you. You've taken the dominion over your own life. And to know in your heart, never mind your mind, but in your heart, that it's going to be good for you too.
Absolutely. 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 I think he's actually astonished that we have reacted this way, you know. I mean, it's just not just me, it's also my colleague. And actually our other colleague, the chef, he was actually a bit upset with my boss yesterday. He was not very nice. Like, he was very cold with him, and because the chef has a lot of problems. I mean, he comes from a mafia background, and he's kind of those boys that they grew up. I mean, he's a very interesting guy, and I mean, he's not the talkative type, and he doesn't share much. But he has shared with me, and he's told me very, very personal things. But and a lot of shocking things. So, you know, he has his own problems. So obviously that kind of triggered some fear in him. But today he came back to work and actually apologized to, you know, our boss. He told him, listen, I'm sorry about how I behaved yesterday. I mean, just the beautiful dynamic that's in the group. We're only four people. We're all quite young. I'm the oldest, but we're all quite young, you know? And, it's just so beautiful to see the understanding, as you said, the humanity. And, that even when you behave in a way that is just like, it's an impulsive reaction out of fear, which is totally understandable, you still get back to your senses and say, I'll take a step back and I apologize. I mean, I know I have my problems, but I have to respect your decision. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to understand it. And I told my boss flat out, you know, you deserve this. You really do, because he does things that most people don't know. You know, he works the whole time. It's not only those hours that are, you know, at the restaurant itself. He works till the evening, you know, to prepare other things. It's a family business. You're not talking about a huge corporation where you have a lot of employees. So you have to do everything yourself to get everything ready for the next day. So it's a beautiful thing. I'm just repeating myself again, to be able to be around people where there's understanding and respect. And as you said, saying good for you. And I really feel it from the bottom of my heart. Everyone deserves to live their life the way they want to live it. And if they've given too much to others and they realize that it's time to give themselves a little bit, that doesn't make them selfish. But that's, I think, the beginning of truly pursuing self-love. Because you can't love other people if you don't love yourself first. And your love can't be genuine.
That is the key. And if we're just all genuinely honest with ourselves and begin to do the things that we really want to do, instead of continually bucking down and saying, well, I'm supposed to do... No, there is no supposed to. What do you want to do? And the fact of the matter is that I knew I was unhappy in that job. The job was fine. I mean, getting there. But the drive back and forth was awful. And I hate to be, I mean, since I retired, I make other people drive. I do not like driving. I go around here myself, but there's a trip I ain't driving. You drive. I don't like it. So I was, in a bad traffic and I'm going like, how many more times do I have to do this until I can retire? And based on 70, which was the going thing at the time, I was over 1,000 times I was going to have to do this. And something snapped. And, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, I think 6 weeks later that the business folded. Now, the business was in the process of folding. But my shop, the shop manager, he kept saying how much he wanted to get out of the job and go retire into Africa, South Africa. And I said, if you keep saying this day after day, you're going to be out of this job. I warned him, but didn't warn myself. You know? And it was done terribly. You know, we go in and the manager comes in and says, I need y'all to come into the conference room. And we all looked at each other like, oh, crap, what's this about? And, well, we've been closed since Friday. It was Monday morning. We've been closed since Friday. And it was like, what? What are you talking about? And you'll get one more paycheck. You know, and not only that, but I, all three of us, the three people that were there at the time, we all had banked, I had over $4,000, they had over $6,000 banked of vacation time that we had done because we knew that, you know, at least they would honor that. They didn't. You know, it was really nasty.
They didn't honor it. Oh my God. Well, that's not good.
No. And, then I found out from the guy that owned the place that he was sending the payroll check money to cover the payroll, and he had no clue that 3/4 of the money was going to the general manager and the rest of us were sharing the rest. He thought he was paying us really well, And it turns out he was paying us, well, he's actually underpaying us by what we could have gotten had we gone someplace else. So I said, hey, I was okay with it. It's your problem that you weren't watching your general manager. If you program that you don't like what you're doing, be careful.
I agree. Now, the funny thing is I was enjoying what I was doing, even though it was a difficult job, but I was enjoying it. But, you know, even when, I mean, one thing is what you said, is that when you don't enjoy something, be careful what you wish for. But I think that there are cases where, for example, even though you are enjoying what you're doing, sometimes it's just time to move on. And I think it's part of our job for creating this energy of well-being around us is to be graceful about it. Because we have two choices. We either, like, don't accept it and get angry, and say, oh, this isn't fair, it's disgraceful in the sense of the way you're going to behave with yourself. Or you're going to act more gracefully where you accept it and you say, okay, obviously the universe is telling me it's time to move on. And that level of trust is scary. Most people will think, oh, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? And actually, that's the most sane thing you can do for yourself, is accepting it and trusting it. Absolutely. But people get it the other way around. They're like, no, you have to have control of everything. But you can't. We know that we can't have control over everything. What do I mean by that? There are situations that change. You can't have control over that. Anything that has to do with other people, you have no control over. Now, you have control over your own life, meaning the way you behave, the way you do the way you choose to do things. But for example, in a job or in a marriage, you're not by yourself. There are other people involved. So what if those people choose to do something that doesn't work for you? That kind of shows you that there really isn't any control regarding the situation. And that's okay. That's really hard, but I think once we get the hang of it, life can become much easier to deal with. Much easier.
Well, you know, it's weird because as soon as you realize you have no control, that's when you get the control.
Yeah.
Because you say, oh, I don't have the control, but I have to trust, or I choose to trust, that who is in control is guiding me on the path that I should be on. And so you essentially say, okay, so this is what I want. This is where I think I should go. This is what my heart says to go. And you put that out there. But because you're not really in control of the details are taken care of for you. So you got a really lucky break here in that your path was going to change, and the person that was going to be critical to that change was an honest, open, loving, compassionate person who told you, this is what's going to happen.
Exactly. And I told him that. I told him, thank you for telling us. By the way, you have to understand that that's appreciated, because you could have just not said anything. You could have taken advantage of the situation and waited till maybe the month before, you know, the last month.
Or the day after.
Or the day, yeah, in the sense that, okay, I let them work their butts off.
This happened to me, you know. Oh,
exactly.
Monday morning. We've been closed since Friday. Well, that's good.
well, that's horrible.
They're
that's
not.
Horrible. Yeah, because that's not
Hello?
That's not honoring. Hello?
Uh-oh.
Hello? Nancy? I'm not
hearing.
Can you hear me now? Oh. Hello? I don't know if I'm online. Colleen, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry, I was adjusting my seat.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. We're still live, aren't we?
Yes.
Nancy,
did we lose Nancy?
Yeah, I think we did. I just heard the call close.
Okay, I'll pick her back
up. But I got
up.
Confused. I thought the whole call went off, then I realized that I was actually still on it.
Oh, okay. Must have happened just as I got up and moved my chair and took my headphones off. Sorry.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Yeah, so while we wait for Nancy, it's important to there was a point that I wanted to make regarding, you know, the whole thing of last minute shocks and actually you know, getting things beforehand, like alerts beforehand. I think it also has to do a lot with where you are. You know, the universe really works in a very, although it's a cliche. Oh, hi, welcome back.
Was it me? You were there?
Yeah, you got cut off. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just rebooted my Skype. Okay, sorry about that.
No, no worries.
The world works in mysterious ways. So
yes,
no
it
Skype.
Does. It sounds like a cliche. Exactly. It sounds like a cliche, but it's true, you know. I think that even what happened to you, Nancy, there was a lesson there. That, for example, you were told in the last minute, not even the last minute, after it was already done. So there must have been a lesson there. Maybe you were at a point in your life where that needed to happen. Maybe in my case right now, I didn't need to go through that. That's why I was told before. I'm being given the chance right now to, you know, like I've been given a heads up. God, I mean, we don't really know how these things work, but I think the key is trust. I mean, we keep repeating the same thing, but really the key is trust. I'm not going to lie. There's a little part of me that's a bit like, okay, so now what do I do? Okay, no panicking, but, you know, I got to find out what am I going to do here. There is a little part of me that's like that, but it's totally under control. It's completely under control. I mean, I can sleep at night. Since he told me this, I'm not, like, staying up and thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? No, I sleep very well. I have no problems. I don't have any, like, uncomfortable dreams. So this is an indication that subconsciously I'm okay. And, you know, everything is in check. But it's incredible to be able to get to that point.
What we should do is we should go over to the Ben Fulford thing. Golly, did you want to come in here? You know, we've been talking, and I think about, oh, I should ask Colleen. Does she have an opinion here? Does she want to say something? And then we keep talking. Do you want to say something before we go on to another subject?
No, not right at the moment.
Okay.
I'm still waking up. I'm not one of those
morning person.
No, it's like.
Well, you're still laughing. That's a good sign. Some people are really grumpy.
Well, Ben Fulford, because of something that he said. I'm going to pull it up here. What did we just, we were talking about? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
You know, it's talking about the from what I read, it was like mostly talking about reverse aging technology.
Well, what I want to touch on right now is he says the only thing that is blocking humanity from this future of immortality and exponential expansion into the universe is now a small group of people clinging to control of financial computers at the Federal Reserve Board, the Bank of Japan, the European Central Bank, and the BIS. These computers need to be physically seized in order to allow the issuance of unlimited funds to let humanity spread its wings and fly. The individuals who have been forensically identified as blocking the funding, and he goes through and tells, you know, who they are. He says special forces need to go in and seize these individuals and occupy the computer centers at the central banks ASAP in order to ensure the liberation of funds for the planet Earth. Ah, this is a great story. We're going to send in the special forces to take over the bank computers. I love it. If these computers and the parasites who control them are removed, multiple sources and various charitable foundations are saying that not just trillions, but actually quadrillions of dollars could be released to finance an end to poverty and environmental destruction, as well as research into immortality and unlimited expansion into the universe. Then he goes in and he says, okay, the battle against the controllers of the Babylonian debt slavery system, these central banks overseeing, is continuing towards final victory. Former U.S. President Barack Obama has vanished from public view and probably is undergoing interrogation. And this one just blew me away. Also last week, the body of Bill and Hillary Clinton's long-term associate, Vincent Foster, was exhumed and was found to have two bullet holes in the back of his head, meaning the cause of his death was changed from suicide to murder. Pentagon and CIA sources say this finding will lead to the Clintons being prosecuted for murder. Okay? Now, this is an old story. I don't know if you know this story. Do you have any idea who Vincent was?
No.
Okay. I'm going to go directly to the article that talks about why his body was exhumed. He was, I don't even think they get into it. 1993. Okay. All right. Let me read this. A string of events this week has led to incredible results in a 23-year-old case that had gone completely cold. After a reporter from the Washington Examiner was shot dead in front of his home and a letter was sent to his editor on his behalf, an investigation began into the death of Clinton attorney, their attorney, Vince Foster. Foster's death in 1993 had been ruled a suicide. Okay. With new evidence.
Okay. Wait a minute.
What?
It was ruled a suicide.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Those bullet holes were in the back of his head when they determined it was suicide.
Yes, but there was no autopsy.
You don't need an autopsy. You see a guy, he's dead, he's got bullet holes in the back of his head.
I understand that. The body was not officially autopsied. Okay, so even if you've got a suicide, and let's assume it's a suicide, and you don't have an autopsy? I mean, this was what was so screwed up about this whole thing to begin with. That's why the question became one of, well, this doesn't look right. I mean, but it went cold is exactly what they said when I heard this in 93. And it was like, wait a minute, you have an autopsy to suicide case?
You've got a body with bullet holes.
It's in the back of his head.
You know, you pretty much know it's not natural causes.
Well, not only that, but both of the bullet holes in the back of his head were deadly. So if you pulled the first one killed you, how did you do the second one?
Okay, this is shot. Fall down an elevator, hit yourself in the hammer, in the head with a hammer kind of thing.
Exactly. Now, we didn't know when this first came out that there were two bullet holes in his head. I mean, in the back of his head. We didn't hear that. But it was like, wait a minute. The guy commits suicide and you don't have an autopsy and you run him over. And I mean, right from the get-go, there was a lot of conspiracy people that was my first introduction to the concept that the Clintons could be murderers. Since then, there's a lot more on my palate concerning that subject. But, so anyway, Representative Gowdy successfully petitioned a federal judge to have the body of Vince Foster exhumed 23 years later. The body wasn't autopsied before burial the first time, which aided to the theory of cover-up. Exactly. Forensic specialists examined the body last night at the Naval Hospital in Norfolk, Virginia, concluding that the cause of death for Mr. Foster should be changed from suicide to homicide. Yeah, do you think?
And that was how many years ago? Sorry, 23, you said?
23.
Okay.
This is why it even got better. I mean, I guess I can remember this stuff going down. Okay.
Crazy.
The doctor who signed Foster's death certificate died in a car crash a few months later. And the police detectives who worked the cases have both left the country, never to be seen again. Without the letter from the reporter who was gunned down in Fairfax for no apparent reason, Mr. Foster may have never seen justice. The case has been turned over to the FBI, who has clear jurisdiction at this point for the difficult task of connecting the dots from Foster's death directly to Bill and Hillary Clinton. Director Comey has assured the congressional panel that he will personally see to it that all of the Bureau's resources are made available. And in this author's words, he said, in other words, Clinton will be getting away with murder again. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing at this stuff. I should be outraged. But it's getting to the point that the whole thing is so obvious and stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay,
well,
so
and
that's,
as you said, you know, first you had the Clintons like on your radar. But the problem part of the problem is that this stuff goes on all the time. Not just with the Clintons.
Oh, I know.
You know, when you stop to consider all the, it's almost like tongue in cheek that the whole thing is run by the mob. You know, the whole political way they do things, and if you get in their way, you're erased from the picture permanently. It's just like, wow. And it just keeps getting worse. It's not like they get scared or anything. They go, oh, well, look how they handled it. Well, they got by with it, so hey.
Right. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
And I mean, there has been other, let's say, accidental deaths associated with the Clintons, more so than anybody else I know. Well, most people. So, this is amazing that they've actually now declared it a murder 23 years later. So back to Fulford here. Okay, so that was what I wanted to point out, is that we were talking about, you know, people's paranoia about the money and everything. Well, I don't know if all this money that we're supposed to be getting, if this happens or that happens, really happens. But if we are truly into reality change, okay, and that reality is what we think it is. But we need a story to explain how we suddenly got into this new reality. Now, Walt and I, for 2 years, we used energy to create a reality matrix. I'm absolutely, positively, absolutely don't have any doubt about it that we have created that. But now you got to fill it in. You got to fill it in with the stories that say, okay, there's no chemtrails. Well, that's Shungite. We talked about that last night. The downfall of the federal or the world banking system seems absolutely, oh my God, well, you know, too big to fail. Oh, we can't do this. But there is alternative stories, and it's not just one. I mean, I don't know if they're all the same story, but there's always this story of all this money, this treasure, normally associated with Southeast Asia. And so I don't know, but there's stories. There are stories that are available for us to make a massive change very quickly. We don't have to be in this crazy ass debt to banks. We do not have to have our society based on how much money you make. It's not necessary. The stories that Fulford and others are telling us tell us, look at, in his case, he's saying, if we can just get these people away from these computers, I don't know if it's true or not. You know, but it could be. But there are reasons for us to be excited that it's coming apart. Because as it's coming apart in our reality, things are filling in. It's like when I got lost the job, okay, boom. But now I've got a life that... I wouldn't change my life right now for anybody's anywhere, anytime. So if you can just get away from the fear of lack, that you're going to ever be without what you need. It may not be what you want, but you probably don't want it. You're probably being told you want it. So anyway, that was my take on it.
Yeah, but I'm a little confused. There was just a little question when I was reading the report of what you sent me. I don't understand what it means by the computers. What are they talking about when they say the computers?
Okay, I'm going to give it to you as best as I understand it, all right?
Okay.
Well, you know that right now they can't kill the internet because the internet runs everything.
Mm-hmm.
They have stopped really passing dollar bills and, you know, around. It's all on computers. It's a computer system. And Walt would probably be able to tell you what it is. But it was a computer system that essentially could be manipulated any way that the bankers wanted it manipulated. And it was through the manipulation of that that you had the Libra scandal, which was instead of a mathematical program that says, okay, if you've got this much debt and this much happening today, then therefore the percentage of how much money a loan should be getting, you know, that interest rate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were saying, well, let's have the interest rate at this, not paying any attention to what real was, because they could manipulate the computers. So supposedly there was a new computer system that was going to take over this other one that would not allow for this manipulation to go on. Of course, I think it probably any manipulation is available. But things got really weird about the computers, and I don't know what exactly is happening. However, you have main server computers that sort of have the data for everything else. And it's kind of like if you could take over those computers, if you could get a hold of them and find out what the heck they're really doing, then you could make changes that would ensure the system stays up enough to take all this money and funnel it into where it's supposed to be instead of making a massive new computer changeover. In other words, it's sort of like, banks, give us the computers so that we can pay off everybody's loans. So we can give humanitarian groups massive amounts of money. You know, but without that computer system in place, it's probably going to make it much more difficult to be able to actually take it over. Whereas if you could take over those specific computers and just say, okay, these people here, see what they're doing is they're blocking the money. Supposedly the money's there. Supposedly it is in repositories, banks. It's already in certain countries. They started to use it. I don't know the details. It's like I kind of look at this stuff in glass eye over. I don't know that I want to know all the details. But the money is there. It's in the system. But at these particular terminals, there are people that are stopping the final takeover of saying, okay, what they're saying is that we will pay off every single debt that humanity owes the banks. If you've got credit cards, if you have a mortgage, if you have car payments, all of that will be paid off. They have that much money. But the banking system, if they allow that to happen, they go out of business.
So they're practically manipulating the, what do they call it in mathematical language? Oh boy, I don't remember the name as usual, but it's like there's a, there's practically a manipulation. I can't remember the word right now, but there's a manipulation in the numbers themselves. This kind of reminds me of a movie I saw. I don't know if it was James Bond. It was a recent movie of last year. And I remember this thing about this glitch. I think it was in a James Bond movie. There was this mathematical glitch, which was done on purpose. And they used these really high tech, very intelligent hackers where they did this glitch where they made something look like something else. And it had to do with just all the money in the stocks and the stocks and the bonds in Wall Street or something. I don't remember what movie it was, but is that what it's kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, the whole thing is really, it's so far out there, kind of, because like for instance, in the stock markets right now, you used to have people that would buy and sell and buy and sell. Well, now they've got it so that computers are buying and selling. And it happens so fast that if there's a glitch in the programming, it can throw everything out of skew, and it actually has happened. Whether it was a hack or not, it actually happened. But because it happened, and it was sort of like, it was almost to me like a test run, you know, what if everything kind of goes out of whack? And it started cascading, and it all, the stock market started to, you know, collapse. But it had happened, if I remember correctly, late in the day. So they could close everything down and stop it. But by then, a tremendous amount of damage had been done. So then they immediately wrote the programming into these computers that are doing this, that if a certain amount of activity starts to happen, then the computers stop, because they don't want another run on the computers. Okay, that's the stock market. That's how the stock market is now being controlled, by computers. Well, the banking system is, you know, part of this whole thing. It's all done by computers. It's all mirrors. It's all smoke. There is no money. It's digits in a computer. But if you,
yeah,
if you put a treasure in, the Bank of Miami. You put a treasure in the Bank of Miami and you say to the banks, okay, we want to pay off every single loan that is worldwide from this bank account. And the computers in the system are saying, we don't acknowledge that. We're not going to let you do that because we're just not going to let you play. Then the only option is to take over those computers. Stop the people that are controlling those computers that won't allow them to play, and say to the computer, no, this is a real bank account, and we want you to pay off every loan anywhere, and within a matter of probably seconds, every single loan in the world would be done with. That's that game, the way I understand it. If it's real, but it's a great story.
Wow, that's crazy. That's intense.
But that's why I mean, it's one thing to say, I've got all this money, I'm going to pay it off. But how are you going to get the money to the people to go to the bank to pay it off? You've got to do it from the top end down. And if they won't let you play with their computers, well, you're screwed. So I can understand why this would be the next step and a needed step.
Thank you, Nancy. Now it's much clearer. Now I get it. Because I was really confused. I didn't understand what that meant. Now I get what you're saying.
Well, you know, he's one of the people that began, I've watched him for a decade at least, talking about the Babylonian debt slavery system. Okay? Now, that basically says, well, everything that you know about the way the banking happens, that an average person sort of understands it, okay? That is the Babylonian debt slavery system. It came about in the Babylonian times, okay? But if you listen to a lot of people out there, well, there are certain people out there that seem to have the, you know, their voice being heard, they will tell you that this Babylonian debt slavery system is actually black magic. That it's been done to, is almost like an energy thought form that, because if you look at it, if you are awake and you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. But we all follow it because in actually establishing this, it was done under ceremonial magic that created a thought form that says, if you play with a bank, you are implicitly agreeing to the Babylonian debt slavery system.
And I have a theory on that.
Okay.
Well, I shared it before. I mean, it's just a perfect comment in regards to what you just said about the Babylonian system and its connection to the bank. When I first started working, my first job was in a bank. And the night after I worked for the first day there, I had this dream. And, I mean, I've shared this already before, but it's worth sharing again. I dreamt, in two words, I dreamt that I was having sex with the devil in the dream. Of course, you can imagine, I woke up extremely disturbed thinking, what the hell? I mean, what is this? You know, you can't control dreams. But usually when there are these kind of disturbing things that you don't understand, like, what's wrong with me? But then I understood, because I asked a couple of people who don't know each other, and they both told me the same explanation. And they said, well, this is because you have started working in the banking system. You've entered yourself and your energy into the banking system. And the banking system is extremely diabolical. Now, they didn't use the word Babylonian, but you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
And that freaked me out. I mean, two different people who don't know each other told me the same exact story. I mean, the same exact explanation.
Now, either of them seem to be, you know, awakened into the conspiracy thing, or is this just a known fact?
No, well, the first one was my friend, my best friend, Rania, who till now did not come on the show. But anyway, she's very spiritual. She's had her experiences, and she's very in tune, and she's very good at tarot reading. She's very good at dream interpretation. So she has a very strong intuition. The other person was a medium. So they don't know each other. One lives in a city and the other one lives in another city. So they both gave me this interpretation. They just said it flat out, like very normal, you know, like matter of fact. Yeah, it's because you started working in a bank. That's why you had this dream.
Well, you ever notice a bank? They all look like cathedrals. I mean, the big ones.
Yeah.
They look like cathedrals, but any bank that you walk into, you have a line of people. Well, a line of people that's, you know, outside a movie theater is noisy because they're talking to one another. You have a line of people that are shopping. Well, same thing. But you have a line of people in the bank, and they whisper. Why? Because they feel like they're in church.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
We're at the top of the hour, so let's take us a break. And then we'll come back and do a little more Fulford.
Alrighty, here we are back.
Okie dokie, you're listening to the World Talk with Friends radio show. I've got Nora Willow with me. I'm Nancy Hopkins, and Colleen Kelly is here producing. And she's waking up because she did comment in a little bit. Got her riled up. Suicide. Anyway, it is March 29th, 2017. You're listening to Haggy Shack Radio. And I highly recommend you go over to Haggy Shack Radio and go to the donate button at the bottom of the homepage, and probably every page, because you can get 3 Shungite S4 stickers for $30 if you donate $30 or more. Just put your address in, say you want the stickers, and you'll save that's what we charge in the store, and you're going to save the shipping charge. S4 stickers are extremely important because they do help us in so many ways, and you know this because I talk about it all the time. But Colleen does an incredible amount of work. Ever since I started doing this own station producing stuff, I mean, I just keep more admiring her because I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she did it, and I don't know how she's still doing it. She has my appreciation and my support, and I hope that you will give your support energetically through money, because it's all digits in the computer anyway, but it's energy. And That's what we're into, at least from my standpoint, is that we're in an energy universe, and we're learning how to control energy for the purposes of the betterment and highest good of all. So that's where I'm at with it. Hi, guys. Got anything to say?
That was beautiful, Nancy. Yes, I agree.
Yes, and... okay, now, shall we go back to Fulford? Because he has another interesting thing on there. Well, he's got a couple more interesting things. Are you there? I'm not hearing anybody.
Nancy, I'm here. Hello?
Oh, if I had put the earphones on my head. On my head, but I won't. Why can't I hear anybody? Because I didn't have over my ears. Oh, see what I mean? I am not born just producing stuff. I'm trying. I can't even know when my headphones are on or not.
Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now. Amazing, this technology. Just put it on your ear, dummy. Okay, thank you very much. Got it covered. All right, we're going back to Fulford. Okay, now this was interesting. And I just posted a YouTube in the chat room. Do you know anything about the Black Knight satellite, Nora? Do you know the story?
I just heard about it, but I really don't. I didn't get into it. I mean, when I was reading the report, I just like, this is familiar, but I didn't really have time to check it out.
Well, it's, I don't want everybody turning on their YouTube yet, you know. Let us have a little discussion about it, but keep it up. Put it up so that you can look at it later, you know. Because what this is they're claiming that it was put up on some kind of a WikiLeaks, secret WikiLeaks computer. I don't know anything about this, but this is what it's being presented, that that's where it came from, a secret WikiLeaks server. And it said a lot of files were uploaded that targeted the Black Knight satellite. According to these documents, the Black Knight satellite was shot down by a secret aircraft that knew the weak spots of the alien object that was orbiting Earth for the last 13,000 years. It absolutely shows something looking like it's burning. Why they would decide to shoot down the Black Knight satellite is kind of bizarre. It's been there for 13,000 years. So this is another one of those stories that may not go anywhere. The fact it was there, Tesla actually picked up signals from it. It had been seen, that's why they know it was 13,000 years ago. Somebody out there saw it. I think it was a light or something, but there was reports that there was some object around the North Pole that would show up every once in a while. But then Tesla actually got a signal that he believed was coming from something in that position, above the North Pole. So that's about all that I knew about it. And then, good Lord, when was it? I should have looked that one up. If you look up the Black Knight Pepsi Cola YouTube video, you'll see it. And it's like this mini story of people getting these signals from the Black Knight satellite, and the information being downloaded indicated that if humanity didn't show this group up there in the satellite, Black Knight, if they didn't see a response by humanity, that humanity is understood and understood their transmission, then I don't even know if they were going to leave or they were going to kill us all. It didn't seem to be answered in this little story. So it takes these people and shows people all over the world making big peace signs and, you know, other things on the Earth that could be seen by space. And it was a Pepsi-Cola commercial.
Hmm.
And this thing went on. It was long. I think it was 15 minutes, okay, all total. But what happened was that I'm watching it, and it starts to go into the credits. And as soon as it started going into the credits, I felt an intensification of energy. And it was not pleasant energy. And I'm going like, what is happening now? And so I was very careful to kind of like ground myself out, but to visually see what was happening. And for the next 7 minutes, they ran credits. The credits weren't there. I mean, the credits were just bullshit. They were programming. They put 7 minutes in a 15-minute tape. 7 minutes of it was programming.
You mean the information that was in the credits was
behind it?
Like, yeah, like subliminal. Okay,
absolutely. In my opinion, First off, where the hell do you have a 7-minute credits for 7 minutes of film?
That's a little too long.
If you had spent that kind of money, don't you think you would have put it someplace other than a YouTube video?
Right.
It was clearly Pepsi-Cola.
Yeah.
So, again, one of these stories that's sort of like, what was that about? Why are we now saying that it was taken down by the Illuminati? And if the Illuminati and the dark side are in such a weakened state, why would they take down this satellite? How could they? What was it? I mean, there's so many questions.
So practically, Pepsi produced this mini movie?
Yeah.
And it's just like a random movie with no, like, there's no reason for it, just like that?
Yeah, there's some reason. We just don't know what
it is. Yeah, I mean, obviously there is a reason, but I mean, looking at it from the outside, I mean, there's no, like, I mean, did they do it for entertainment or did they do it to advertise their, you know, their products? I mean, I have it on now, like, on mute, just curious to look at. I mean, it looks like a mini movie, but this is really weird. I mean,
it's called Black Knight Decoded.
Yeah, Black Knight Decoded. I can see that. Interesting.
The one I've got up is only I'm just looking at the Google search. Is 5 minutes, but the original one, like I say, was they might have taken out. Somebody might have said, "Why do I need all this credits in it and taken it out?" You know.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one down here that says. Oh, this one I love. Black Knight Satellite and Pepsi, Coming Alien Disclosure. And you can buy this 90-minute version of it for $15.
And when was this movie produced? When was it published?
I'm seeing dates of 2015, November 22nd. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. So not too long ago. Yeah, man, for some reason I heard you mention it, but I don't know why you know those things that you hear and then you don't really go in and look, but this is like the first time that I kind of understand exactly what's it about. So how is Fulford is saying that they shot it down?
Well, what happened here, I'm going to read you. Okay, last week somebody hacked into my computer so that the video at the link below started playing as soon as I turned it on. It purports to show the destruction of the Black Knight satellite that many people in U.S. intelligence agencies like the NSA insist has been stopping humans from leaving the planet Earth. Okay, I actually had forgotten that part of it.
That's interesting. Could that be the thing that's manipulating the grid?
No, because see, this is what gets to me about Fulford is like, well, Ben, I could believe that if I didn't believe in a secret space program. I might not think I can get off the planet, but there's a secret space program out there. He doesn't seem to accept or address that.
The secret space program.
At least in this posting. And I'm trying to go back in my mind, and I think he's done this before. Things that I knew by what I knew, what I thought I knew, actually would, you know, say, well, this just doesn't matter, Ben. Why are you talking about it? So I'm not sure. I've never been sure about Ben Fulford. Understand me. Tells great stories.
Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, just an idea that popped out of my head. Could it be that he's talking about, I mean, there are a lot of wealthy people in this world that really have a lot of money, and they could actually have the means to create their own rockets where they can get out of, you know, the Earth's atmosphere. Could it be that he's talking about just the general idea of people leaving, but not specifically addressing those who may be in contact and working with certain extraterrestrial beings? Because from what I understand, the secret space program is, part of it is a lot, there's a lot of trading, and whether it's technology or trading of biological beings, like slavery and all that kind of stuff. Could that, I mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm just trying to understand because it is very confusing. Maybe those who can get out is because they are in contact and there is a mutual benefit. I don't know.
I'm getting the feeling that this is some kind of a setup.
People, you mean the information?
Yeah. Now let's look at it. Somebody hacked into his computer and put this image in there. They wanted him to know. Okay? The Black Knights had been down. But why? Why would you want to know that? I mean, what's behind it? And he's saying, you know, that it's the Illuminati because certain people can't. But there's a secret space program. We've been off of this planet. So are you talking about the fact that certain people, certain Illuminati people, you know, who want to leave are being prevented from leaving by the Black Knight satellite? I don't know. But I just find, the whole, it's those stories that seem to have a little bit of leg and then all of a sudden they kind of fade out and then they pop back up. You know, it's like,
He says a lot of, things that, you know, one can also question a little bit because a lot of what he says doesn't have any, a lot of people in the alternative media scene, I think, a lot of people don't have any proof. So Ben Fulford is kind of, has the same thing, you know, he says he claims a lot of things that don't have proof, and there are other things that do, like, you know, things that have to do with WikiLeaks, things that have been leaked, information that's come out to the public. But I guess not everything he says can be proven. I don't know, this story confused me a little bit.
Walt says that Fulford does in fact say, look, I'm just giving you my what people are telling me. He doesn't stand behind. Whereas David Wilcock will tell you something after he really believes it. Ben sort of says, and I heard this. He's kind of a gossiper. In a way, you know. But the fact that there was an announcement by NASA that they have some kind of age-reversing pill and faster-than-light travel technology that will allow them to go and visit newly discovered Earth-like planets, that appears to be true. Mm-hmm. They did announce it.
Yeah.
You know?
They announced that there were quite a few of those exoplanets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why they made that big announcement regarding all of these planets. And everybody's going like, why? What was the big announcement? Why were you putting off? You're right. And so now that they've announced there's all these planets out there, now they come up with, oh, by the way, we can reverse the aging and we can then also travel faster. So now we can go to these new planets. What bullshit.
Yeah.
You've been going to them anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like soft disclosure.
Yeah, you know? I think it's been happening for a while with NASA. I mean, when they announced that there was water on Mars, when was that? Was that in 2015? Or 2000, was it last year? It wasn't long ago.
No, I think it was 15.
15, yeah. I mean, they've known this. I mean, some people claimed it, what was it, in the 90s? If I'm not wrong, if I remember correctly, that yes, there is water on Mars, if not earlier. Maybe I remember the dates wrong. But people have known that there is water on Mars.
Yeah, and then finally,
I mean, it does seem to be like some sort of soft disclosure that people aren't seeing. We go back to the first subject that we talked about at the beginning regarding that, you know, place I went to where, you know, we're kind of seeing it from a different angle here. that most people are a little bit naive and innocent, and they think, oh, okay, they're announcing this stuff. And for people who actually have heard that this has been going on for a while, I mean, Mars in itself is another story. You know, there is so much mystery about it that they don't want to reveal. And a lot of things that have been brought out to the light, you know, like all these pictures that they've suppressed, and pictures like, for example, the face on Mars, there are all these different angles. At the beginning, they said, no, it was just a play of light or something. And then there were actually different pictures from different angles that show the same face looking the same. I mean, if it's from one angle and then you see it from another angle and you still see that face, then it can't be, you know, the light playing with a surface. So they didn't disclose that, of course, but for me, it's enough that they're talking about the water, you know.
Well, it gets even deeper than that. Have you ever studied the change in the color that NASA did to all the Mars pictures?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they say that it's like a baby blue sky, and it looks a little bit like Arizona, somewhere in Arizona, you know, the desert there, or I don't remember where exactly, but that it actually looks like a normal desert on Earth.
Right.
Right. And they changed the colors. They made it look red or something like that.
Yeah, they skewed it so that you've got like a red atmosphere, that the sky always looked red. It looked, you know, red planet. It was the Russians. They're looking, it was a Russian guy, I'm sure that it was the Russians, or the Soviets at that time even. No, it was the Russians. But they actually realized that there was a skewing of the color, because there was a shot on one of the landers, and the shot had the NASA logo in it. It was on the, you know, a leg of the, someplace on the lander, and the photograph picked it up, and the color was wrong. So he skewed the photographs he had so that he got the right color for the NASA plaque logo. And boom, all of a sudden he's got a blue sky and an Arizona terrain and just a really neat looking place.
Well, what about the Russians? I mean, my question here is, if the Russians have also sent their probes, haven't they? They've sent their probes too.
Well, now there's...
No?
Well, you see, they tried.
Oh.
And to my remembering, they never really... They kept losing them. I don't think they ever really got... Near enough the planet. I they may have done something recently, but initially, every time they tried to look at Mars, they were failing in the 70s, 80s, and well, at least the early 90s. So I don't know if they've been able to do that since.
I see. Yeah, because I mean, it doesn't make sense that, for example, if the Russians have that technology and the means to do that, there should be, unless the Russians were able to capture some pictures and they themselves are also not disclosing it. I mean, it could be either ways.
Well, you know, this is where it gets complicated, because you've got, okay, according to Corey Good, there are layers of this secret space program. And the first layer is the military-industrial complex that used technology gleaned in Nazi Germany, with scientists and technicians that were brought over in paperclip, and they created a secret fleet of extraterrestrial, in that they can go off planet, okay, and they can go places, vehicles that would take them out into at least a solar system. According to Corey, that group there is limited. They think they're limited, that they can only go out so far. They don't know, who was talking about this, that it was really that group is the Air Force, whereas the Navy had more help and is a higher echelon of super secret space flight, and that the Air Force people don't know that the Navy people have got all this extra stuff. I think it was Corey that was talking about this. So what you've got is you've got these different layers. So if you've got a layer of people who understand that they can go outside into the solar system, they've got a different mentality than we do. But then on top of that, you've got another layer that says, oh, well, you guys are just a front. Because that group there, that supposedly military-industrial group, my understanding is that other countries are involved in that level. That the Russians and the probably the British and the French, but or the European, I guess they do it as a European group, that they have their own participation at that level. So when you see that the Russians are not talking about the secret space program and nobody else is, they all seem to be in the same conspiracy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, where's that level at? I don't know. I don't know. And this disclosure thing gets complicated because you got all these different factions. Now, another thing that Fulford talked about it last time. I don't know if he talked about it in this one. Let me see if I remember. When he's talking about the no, I don't think he did it in this one. He talked about it, and some other people have talked about the fact that I don't think I pointed this out to you, Nora. Maybe I did, but I listened to Trump give his speech before the United States Congress, which was the Senate and the House under one chamber. And I was very carefully listening to the man and the way he was presenting things. And I was impressed. But what really kind of like got me in a state of, what's going on right now, is he suddenly, and it was suddenly, I mean, I was intently listening to what he was talking about, changed subjects. And he begins to talk about the 100th anniversary of the establishment of the United States. So when the United States turned 100 years old, they had a big celebration. And he starts telling about all of the various technological devices that were introduced at that particular ceremony. There was Tesla was involved in it. Edison was involved in it. There was a lot of technological changes that were introduced at that particular ceremony that was held in New York City, I believe. So, but Trump is talking about this. I'm going like, why is he saying this? You know, I mean, my mind right away was jumping all over it. And then he says, this July, we're going to have the 250th anniversary of the establishment of this nation. Can you even imagine what can be presented then? So right there, the way he said it, the way it came about, the fact that it didn't make much sense, I felt he was flat out saying, in July, I'm going to unveil technological advancements that is going to blow the mind of the world. That's what I think he said.
Wow. Well, that's quite blatant.
I thought it was. I really did. So I can't wait for the 250th anniversary.
Wow. Yeah, now I kind of recall a little bit watching that, but I didn't see the whole thing. I just remember snippets of it. But it did make me think as well. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully they won't find a way to shut him up.
Nah, I don't go there. In my reality, he lives and he does the things that need to be done, and we get on with it.
Yeah.
See,
that's fascinating.
When Walt and I were talking about the when we were building the new reality, the matrix of the new reality, I asked him, okay, so we've got a structure. We've claimed a piece of space and place, and we're saying that this is our reality, and we're going to bring in all these wonderful things. I said, but what are we going to do? Where are we going? What's happening? And right after I asked the question, suddenly we were being bombarded by the information regarding the secret space program. And I said, oh, wow. I said, this is so cool. We're not going to have to go through this kind of concept of ascending and leaving the planet and going off into whatever. We're going to get to be able to experience the Star Trek universe in our own lifetime.
That would be amazing.
It's there.
Yeah. Well, now that you say this, I kind of remembered something that my daughter told me, which I found quite fascinating. I tried to drill her brain a little bit and try to understand what she's talking about, but she herself, I think, doesn't know exactly why she's saying it. But she asked friends of hers, you know, of her generation, and they all kind of agree with her. And she said, you know, Mom, I don't see past 2035. She says, yeah, 2035. She's like, I just can't see past it. And I'm like, I was trying to understand, I mean, why? What is it that you can't? She's like, I just can't see past it. I can see till there, but I can't see past it. And she said, the weird thing is I asked other people the same question, and they all said the same thing. They're like, oh, yeah, we can't see past 2035 either. So...
But she's asking her contemporaries.
Yeah.
When you were her age, did you think 25 years in the future? Did you see anything beyond that?
No.
It's their age.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, I mean, it's their age and the age they live in. Yeah. In that when, you know, our grandparents, they would know that, well, it's going to be the same thing over and over again. You know? But then... My God, they get the airplane, they get radio, everything starts to change. There is no way that they could have imagined 25 years into the future what they saw.
That's very true. That's very true. No, but I was just thinking maybe that it could be, it could kind of have to do with this whole new Earth phenomenon. That's kind of what came into my mind.
Well, you can't predict the future. You can only create it. If anybody tells you that they know what the future is, turn around, say, have a nice day, walk away. Nobody knows what the future is.
Not even Edgar Cayce?
Well, there is Edgar Cayce. you do have a point there, Colleen.
No, but wait a second. But he had the ability to tap into those possibilities, like a lot of prophets. You know, he was a prophet. He prophesied, and most probably he was able to. He had the sensitivity. I mean, this is just my take on it. He had the sensitivity to see the actual situation in the current time he was living in, and. Could see a possible future that was more logical for that timeline. Does that make sense?
Go ahead, Colleen.
I'm thinking he said that he was tapping into the Akashic Records.
Uh-huh. Mm. Well, aren't the Akashic Records more of a historical thing? Where, of course, I mean,
right.
Time doesn't exist.
Right.
Time doesn't. So I guess if we want to talk about time, if time is not linear, then everything is in the Akashic Records, absolutely.
Yes.
But if we have this whole timeline thing, then I guess the Akashic Records are going to, you know, shift and change depending on the timeline we're in. So could it be that he tapped into that timeline, seeing the current circumstances where it's leading? Because it's like looking at yourself in a fork in a road, okay, and then you either take the left or the right. Now, depending on which side you're going to take, that's the future you're determining for yourself. So could it be that he was able to see which, was it left or right, that the world was directing itself in, so he could kind of look into that future possibility?
I don't know.
Well, he said himself that he was seeing a potential future, and that it really was all up to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like you got a timelines. And yes, you can look out. That's why I say you cannot predict the future, because you can look to the future on the timeline you're on. You may see a certain future. This is what they ran into when they were using Looking Glass. And there was another one. I can't remember what the name of that thing is. It's another computer-generated kind of concept of being able to predict the future. Mm-hmm. And very, very accurate. The Montauk Project, where they were actually taking people's consciousness and sending it into the future. Both of these type of systems found the same problem when it got to December of 2012. They could not go any further.
Yeah, because I guess the fork in the road was there. There are like moments where there's this like change.
Well, I call it a singularity, because what was happening, and it was happening, was that we had all these timelines that were out there and moving and going. But the problem is that the closer you got to 2012, in what I call the singularity, it was a place in space that the planet and the solar system and this whole local cluster of stars and planets that just went through it. When they went through it, it is an energy form that creates a new beginning. It is a change of age, just like the Mayans were talking about. But there were many other disciplines of thought that also indicated there was this change when you enter into a different energy level. And we had been getting closer and closer, and it was starting up. But by 2012, it was like, boom, you went through a singularity, because all of the possible timelines began to collapse, until the only thing they could see in Looking Glass was that there was either this wondrous kind of ascension signal that was going out and total destruction. So by the time you hit 2012, you only got one or that one. Okay, now after 2012, and I couldn't believe it was happening this fast, but right in the spring of 2012, all of a sudden people started, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, because every available timeline was there again. Whatever you wanted, you would just, start it up. But they began to crash immediately, until you again basically only had the two major timelines, but within the timelines there were many other sub-timelines. It was sort of like two potential realities with a lot of different ways of, it's like people come together because they have a consensus of reality. And some people were on the consensus of reality of total destruction. Others were on this concept of, we're going to be okay. We're going to, we're even going to ascend. The ascend people are on a far level, a far side of it. And then in the middle of it are the people that say, the world's going to go on forever. Don't worry about it. There's nothing wrong. The banks are fine. My leaders are honest and capable. As long as they continue believing that, the concept of a reality that ends badly can't happen. So these people that are asleep and really don't know what's real, as we do, and maybe they're right, maybe we're wrong, I don't know. But those people that think that everything is okay, because for all of the people that say that it's okay, there was, what happened was that as they attacked the middle class, as they lowered the standards of the middle class, if they worked, and I think they worked to do it, to crash the economic stability of a very, very large and robust middle class. As they did that, they began to destroy the illusion of everything was okay. So now you've got people out there that are sure that we're in hell, or just about on the cuspice of it. So it's an interesting thing. That at the same time that that's why I do these shows, is to put it in the collective consciousness. We're okay. We don't need the matrix. You don't need those leaders. You don't need the banks. We can do this. We can do this. Why do I keep pushing that? Because I see people waking up. And then they get scared. And now they start putting the energy into the other side. And I'm going, no, it's a collective, you're fine. If we can just keep thinking we're fine, and with the knowledge that we weren't, but we are now, we knew there was problems, and now we're on a path to fix them. Don't panic.
Yeah, it's all about going back to the subject of trust and going with the flow. I think that's where the key lies, I think. The more we do it, the better we get at it. It's about practicing, getting your mind and your etheric body, or your consciousness to work together in this, you know, ebb and flow, and just taking things as they come with the awareness of doing things, because you can't just say, oh, you know, whatever, the universe will fix everything and I'll just sit there and do nothing. No, I mean, we have to work for it. We're doing things, each one in a different way, but there has to be that element of trust and going with the flow. So I think that's the ascension, in a way. It's understanding how the law of the universe works. Is that if we don't resist it, it's just going to work out. Because if you look at nature, let's take the example of nature. Nature works very effortlessly, in the sense of everything is working in a way where everyone is taken care of, plants grow naturally, there's no effort involved. If we want to look at how nature is working, the ecosystem is working together, there's a beautiful cooperation and teamwork ecologically. That's what we're really, that's how we are, that we're part of that. If we go back in history and the way we are now, we've broken ourselves out of that flow, that natural flow. That's how the universe works. So if we can get back to that, that's really the evolution. It's finding ourselves back to, as I remember you were saying, and I think that you had that conversation with Walt on one of the shows, maybe it was Cosmic Reality, talking about we've become uncivilized, or what's the word? I don't remember exactly the word now that you used, but the meaning is that we have to go back to the way we were. And ironically, people think that the way we are is the right way, because we've become more civil, we have technology. But the paradox here is that we've changed to the worse, in the sense of how we behave and how we deal with the flow of the universe. We need to go back to the way we were before, which is really in the Garden of Eden, I think, our primary state.
It was more of understanding what they knew that we don't know. It was like, we've got all this knowledge, but I kept feeling that the Native American, the indigenous peoples throughout the world had a connection to nature that we really had to come to some understanding of. And a lot of us knew it, you know, but an understanding in our hearts, you know, something had to change. Because without understanding the totality of, we're all part of this together. It's a biosphere. It's not just humanity. It's not just Americans or Italians or Saudi Arabians. It's the fact that we're all in this together. Buckminster Fuller liked to use the term the spaceship Earth, because it is. You know, it's the most amazing spaceship, because it travels at millions of miles an hour. We're moving at breakneck speed on a planet that is absolutely protecting us from the destructive death of the outer space. I mean, if you think of it in those terms, it's like, wow.
Absolutely. It's a miracle in itself.
And we got people living inside of it.
Right.
Well, I'm thinking it's not us against the world. You know, there was songs written about you and me against the world kind of stuff. And I think that mankind has looked at it that way, you know, when the Bible said that man was given dominion, man thought conquer. Instead of, we've got this wonderful world that we were born into, that gives us everything we need. And it's all of us, including the world, working together. And I think that the downfall of man, so to speak, is his disregard for the world, the earth, and everything that she gives us, you know, instead of, look, we want to build a village, so let's tear down all those trees and dam up that river. How about we can build a village that works with the trees and the water and the flow instead of damming everything up and paving over the earth and all that kind of stuff. And when we finally learn to do that on a worldwide scale, and do away with all the corrupt government and corporations and stuff like that there, that's part of the answer there, is to see us as all, not just us two-legged human beings, but all of life working together instead of we're separate from it all, and we can do what we want, and the earth, yeah, whatever.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. It reminded me what you're saying about that ancient civilization in South America, which there are still a few that exist. They are, you know, the great-great-great-grandchildren of this. I forgot, unfortunately, the name of the, so bad with names, the name of this indigenous culture, but there was a BBC documentary that was actually, they were allowed, which is very rare, they were allowed by these people to go and actually film them. And it was mesmerizing. And if you look at the ancient structures of their cities, it's exactly what you just said, Colleen. It is a city. It's there are houses, there are structures, but they're all made out of nature. And it's gorgeous. It reminded me a lot of like the movie The Avatar. It's those cities that are all made out of the mountains, and you have all these little houses, and it's gorgeous. It's just so beautiful, very, very natural, very organic. And that, I think that's very possible and very easy to do. And you can still have technology and still use technology in a clean way, living in a beautiful place, because let's face it, I mean, if you compare it, cities are really ugly. Well, I mean, I think we can all agree that cities aren't that beautiful. It just feels so, you know, like cold, and like, I don't know, just sterile and, you know, iron. It's not, it doesn't give you that feeling of natural energy. So I totally agree with you. And there were cities built that way. So it's possible. But the question here is, why don't we do that? Why were we directed to go this way?
I think a lot of it's a power image, you know, build the tallest buildings, the biggest mansions, that are a sign to anyone visiting that you're rich and powerful. And there's that mentality that if you're rich and you're powerful, you can do anything you want, and hey, you know, there's no repercussions. I don't know what else to say at this point. I've got lots of thoughts going through my head all at the same time. I'm tripping over myself here.
Well, I think there are consequences now. I mean, back to Fulford and his discussion of the murder of their attorney, the Clintons, 23 years ago. And now all of a sudden it's reared its head again, and now there's, you know, a murder investigation. It may take a long time for some of this stuff to come right, but I think it's coming right. I really do.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at things on a smaller scale, like in personal relationships or
you know, people that wrong you and do really, like, nasty things, they create a lot of destruction in your life, because that can happen. And then you, for example, you know, you have a friend who has that problem, and you try to tell them, listen, right now you can make your own changes. The situation has happened. I'll try to find a solution. Let's try to find a solution. And forget about that person. Let them be. The consequences will come. You shouldn't be sitting there and waiting for it and then just enjoying the karma unfolding before you. Just let it go. It's their lesson to learn. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't believe in karma. You know, these people are getting away with everything. And I've seen, like, I'm not talking about these big shots, just even more normal people who really, really, it seems like they get away with things. It really looks like it. They have everything, and they're nasty people. You know, they do bad things. They step on other people to get what they wanted. I've seen it. But I personally believe that everything will come in its right time. And you can't, the feeling of revenge is poison. Just let it go. And it's a very hard thing. It's extremely hard to let go and forgive. But yeah, I think that even if it seems like 10, 20 years pass and nothing is happening, that day will come. And maybe it's naive of me to say that, but
I think it's justice. I believe it's justice. You know, it's not revenge. I couldn't care less.
No.
Except for the fact that it's justice. A man may have been murdered, and why turn your back on it because the people that might have murdered happened to have been a president and a would-be president in the United States.
Oh, of course. So that's a different scenario, absolutely.
It's like, no, let's get all this stuff out there because, yeah, oh, well, they've been doing it. Yeah, they've been doing it, but that doesn't mean they can continue to do it. We're now awake. We just have to learn to say, no. You're not in charge anymore. We are.
Well, did you notice that the more people are waking up, the more blatant they are becoming with all their sick stuff?
I know.
I mean, just look at the whole, I don't know. I think Ben Fulford talked about this, about the whole spirit cooking thing. You can't be more blatant than that. You know, that they do all these weird things and they use all these, like blood, and even if it's not real, but who would want to go to a party where there's all this weird satanic symbolism? And these are all big shots. You know, like you've got Hillary, you've got, what's his name, the other guy. The guy who was, his emails got leaked on WikiLeaks. He was also part of the...
Podesta.
Podesta, yes, thank you. So, you know, it's getting more and more blatant. And it's kind of funny. So I think there is a good opportunity here to, instead of looking at it in a negative way where, oh my God, how can these people do this? No, it should be, we should seize the opportunity and actually keep talking about it to expose it more and more. This is not being negative. This is bringing things that shouldn't be happening out in the light so that people can wake up more and more and see what's going on. Because you can't live in love and light without knowing what's really going on around you. Because that's ignorance, I think. When you know that there is something that's not really good and it shouldn't be going on because it's affecting our collective and all that and people, we can actually work in banishing it. So it's not negative. You know, even this whole thing about pedophilia, people don't want to talk about it. You know, and it exists, whether you like it or not.
Well, I don't want to talk about it, but yes, it does exist, and we have to get it out. I mean,
no one wants to talk about what I discover. Absolutely. No, it's not a subject, it's not a nice subject to talk about. It's not. But I had a conversation with my daughter. I can't get into too many details, okay? But I've discovered, this is like we have 5 minutes, but I think we can close on this because this is an important subject. I've discovered that she herself has had certain things that were she could not talk about, and she was not going to talk about it. We started, like, discussing things. She was kind of telling me, you know, Mom, I have thoughts in my head. I don't know if they happened, but they're really horrible, and I could hear her frustration, and she was, like, confused. And I told her, you know, I think I know what you're talking about. That happened to me, too. And she's like, well, can you tell me? what those things are. She couldn't bring, because I told her, could you share? She's like, no, I can't. She couldn't bring herself to share it. So I said, she said, could you tell me what was on your mind? What were these thoughts? And I told her. Okay, I told her very, like, blatantly horrible stuff. Do you know what happened? I mean, no one can do that. I mean, this is something I think no one can really do. Tell their child something like that. Do you understand the sense of relief this child had? She said, oh my God, Mom, I'm so relieved. I thought I was sick. I thought there's something wrong with me. I had the courage to actually go out there and tell her. Again, I can't get into details because I don't have her permission, but I think you understand. So I discover that my child has had certain problems as well that I've faced. And this to me is a big shock because it means that there is something really going on. Not just on a physical level where there are people that are performing bad things, but there really is a manipulation on an etheric level. This is for me, this was one of the most important revealing talks that I could ever have with her. And I think I saved her years of agony internally, being able to blurt it out and tell her, oh, by the way, yeah, I had this and this. Is that what you're talking about? And I find out that it's true. That's the same thing. Why would children have these invasive thoughts? It means that even these big shots are being bombarded with manipulation. Mentally, I mean.
And
so
you
there's
said,
an evil... Yeah.
You said it was etheric. Do you think it's etheric, or do you think it could be some kind of artificial telepathy using the Wi-Fi system, or...
Well, I don't know, Nancy, because when I was a child, I don't think there was Wi-Fi. There could have been other technology. I don't know, but I've had this...
Okay, good point, good point, good point. Wow. You know, this is sort of a big discussion, and we've only got 2 minutes left. Well, you're going to have a show on Saturday.
Yeah, we can talk about this, because I think this subject is actually, it touches me personally. And I think it's such a difficult subject to talk. I mean, people will not come out and say, oh, yeah, by the way, I mean, I'm a normal person, but I have, you know, like, I get these invasive thoughts of, like, you know, seeing people torture and kill other people, and there's a lot of sexual stuff involved, and, you know, pedophilia, and no one has the courage to come out and say it.
Well, we'll look at that, but we can't do it now. We're at the end. Listen, Nora, thanks so much again for another great show. Colleen, thank you so very much for producing and for adding. I always like you to add because you always have such a very profound message. Everybody out there in Radio Land, we thank you so very much. And you guys want to say bye?
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Well, we'll see you in a few.
Yeah, what do you got coming up, Colleen?
Coming up next is the Fans of Whitley Strieber Show, Saving Your Soul, A New Vision with Freddie Silva. And then he also has another episode of Working with Anne.
Oh, wow.
And then followed with Jeremy Bainey's The Experience, The People Behind Our Eyes. Have you ever closed your eyes and seen someone staring back at you? So that sounds like it'll be interesting.
Oh.
And then we have Dr. Rita Louise, Just Energy Radio. Do megalithic structures indicate a long-lost civilization? Followed by, at 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be Unraveling the Mystery with Barbara Threecrow on These Changing Times Radio. That'll be live. And then producer's choices pretty much for the rest of the evening. And replays of today's show.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on Saturday. Well, actually, stay on Haggy Shack. She has so much great shows on there. Just stay on Haggy Shack. Let us be your family.
And also I want to mention that for Mona's show, on days that we have live shows, Mona is still playing on Studio B from Revolution Radio. So, I thank y'all. Great shows today.
Yeah, be safe. We'll see you. We'll see you. We will hear you before we see. Love you guys. Be safe.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for visiting. You have been listening to World Talk with Friends, a Haggy Shack Radio Productions simulcast with Cosmic Reality Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio.